Next on BYUSN, it's game day eve for number 6 BYU football. Which side of the ball needs the best performance for the Cougars to beat Kansas and improve to 10-0? With a victory over Kansas, could BYU actually clinch a spot in the Big 12 championship game? We'll go over exactly what needs to happen in our weekend rootables.
Legendary BYU quarterback John Beck joins us to preview tomorrow night's game against the Jayhawks and talk about the growth of Jake Retzler. And it's a ball night for women's soccer in the NCAA tournament. Avery Frischknecht and Presley Freeman are in studio to preview a rematch of the 2021 College Cup semifinals.
Beat the Broncos! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, November 15th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who doesn't know, but is about to find out. Jerem Jordan.
What a beautiful shot of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. It is going to be crispy tomorrow night, though. It's going to be cold tonight. Oh, blue skies.
Gorgeous.
And the sun's out.
Look at that backdrop.
Royal. And so they're still feeling in. What's that from?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought it might be Wicked or something. Okay. The north end zone. They're still putting in the royal blue. There. You can see it was just partially done. I love it. Okay. So in the cut, there was this clip of Kalani Sitake. Saying they don't know, but they about to find out.
Oh, goosebumps.
He had the team repeat it to him. So people started using this out of context. So he said, at Coogan Saints, me to my kids before the primary program.
They don't know!
They don't know!
But we about to find out!
Okay. At CJ Real Hoops 1, when your friends from out of state ask, what is fry sauce?
They don't know!
At Sterling Tracy 4, me to my siblings when the parents about to come home to a big mess. So our question of the day is this. Caption this clip from last week's The Cut. What do Kansas fans not know, but they are about to find out? At Boiler Cougan X, Cougar tails nourish and strengthen our bodies.
Hit it!
They don't know!
Have you heard the clip enough?
Indeed they are.
At primarily a Cougan X. That it is cold and miserable at 11 o'clock in Provo when you're down 14.
They don't know! They don't know!
It's a necessary drop for the remainder of the history of this show.
I think I'm good. I was good at 4. We played 5. I'm good. I'm good.
Cup is full?
I need to wait until the end of the segment, maybe. My cup
Thank
runneth,
you, Kalani.
Runneth over.
Yeah. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
They don't know, but they about to find out.
Yeah, I saw someone say, when I tell my wife I'll be home from golf in like 3 hours, they don't know, but they had to find out. It ain't 3 hours.
Nope. Maybe 9 holes.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
In the pocket, throws in a window, 50-10, 5-plus, and they're getting it in!
Kansas is a much better football team than their record indicates, and they're playing good football right now.
All of these games are going to be a battle, and so getting through that undefeated is going to be pretty tough.
Tough indeed. Number 6, BYU, hosting Kansas tomorrow night. The Cougars are all of a 2.5-point favorite, which brings us to a wild early stat of the day from Chris Felica, the Bear, guy who is an expert in these odds makers lines. He works with Fox Sports and said, since 1978, there have been 66 instances of a team 9-0 or better facing a team with a losing record at home. Every single one of those was a double-digit favorite until this week when 9-0 BYU is currently a 2.5-point favorite at home over 3-6 Kansas. He added, none of these 66 teams lost, and just 3 games were decided by less than a touchdown.
That's good news.
Including last year's 24-21 win by 11-0 Washington over 5-6 Washington State, rivalry game, as a 14.5 point favorite.
Wow.
Those are some crazy numbers.
Wow.
So, are you buying into the idea that this is going to be a one-score game, even though it is very atypical based on the history of these type of matchups?
Yeah, not after hearing that tweet. BYU's an amazing 4-0 in one-score games. It's incredible what BYU's done there. Kansas 0-5. That's also incredible in the unlucky way.
Unamazing for Kansas.
The deficit total was 19 points in those losses. Like, what? The Jayhawks have two FBS wins. They were blowout wins against Houston. And then Iowa State, they won by two scores, nine. Iowa State win shows us how good they can be. That's why we're saying this is a high alert game. You don't score 48 points on Iowa State and put up 532 of total offense, a season-high 295 passing, rushing 237. And, oh, by the way, it wasn't like plus three or four in the margin where they just were getting these bounces. No, it was plus one. It was one interception. So it's tough to overlook Kansas because they're playing great football based on how they played last week. So I don't know, man. Is it going to be one score? Or does BYU hold serve on what Chris Felick has said?
And I hope that trend continues.
Nope, they win convincingly, and it's all good. That'd be nice, because we've had enough drama for a lifetime, I think, this season already. We're probably in for more, let's be honest. BYU's played on a knife's edge. They are incredibly skilled and lucky to be 9-0. They've made plays when they've needed to.
Yes, they're clutch.
They got the flag when they needed it, right? That was awesome. That was awesome. I don't care how it happens. I want a one-plus point win. I'm just concerned about winning more than I am margin. This isn't Indiana where you aren't playing anybody and you're trying to blow everybody up. Last week they got into that, right, where they're like, oh, my gosh, we just need to beat Michigan. We just need to beat Michigan. Well, BYU just needs to beat Kansas. I don't care about how it looks, what happens. Just win and maintain this top 7-8 ranking.
I'm going to believe what BYU tells me they are. I'm going to believe what Kansas tells me they are, which is Kansas plays everybody tough. They've only lost one game by double figures, and it was 11 points against TCU. Everything else in a loss has been super close. They have led in the final 2 minutes of three of their losses, which is...
It might even be four.
Incredible in and of itself.
I thought it was four.
Maybe it's four games.
Which, either one. Oh, my gosh.
Regardless, they are in every game. So I'm just going to expect that. I'm going to expect Kansas to be in the game, and I'm going to expect BYU to be clutch when it matters most. So, yes, I anticipate a one-score game, but I believe BYU will figure it out on their home field with the help of Lavelle Edwards Stadium and that magical fourth-quarter crowd when it gets super loud. BYU is going to figure out a way to put Kansas kind of back in the mode that Kansas has been in much of the season.
I also believe BYU will win, but I am actually less confident about this matchup than I am Utah. I was very confident going
really?
Into that. I just think the way Kansas is playing is way better than the way Utah was playing.
See, the road situation and 2 weeks off for Utah to prepare and throw the kitchen sink at BYU had me more nervous for that game than this matchup.
Kansas has way better skill players. The quarterback's playing great. Like, that, what they did last week has me on edge with this game.
If this game were at Kansas, I would agree with you. Location is the X factor for me.
Kansas greater than Oklahoma State, too. And Oklahoma State took BYU to the wire. So, I don't think BYU's losing the game. It just, this matchup has me on edge a little bit. Mm. So, what side of the ball needs to win the game for BYU, the offense or the defense? And I would even argue special teams.
This is always such a funny question. Chicken before the egg, egg before the chicken. It kind of feels like both clearly need to step up and play complementary football. Special teams has been special all season for BYU. It's been almost immaculate under Kelly Papinga. So they play a role in this too. But if I have to lean one side, to me, it feels like the BYU defense needs to slow down a Kansas offense that was amazing last week. When you put up, as you pointed out, 532 yards of offense on an Iowa State defense that we thought for much of the season was elite.
They were amazing until 2 weeks ago.
Right? Like, Iowa State all of a sudden played UCF and then Texas Tech and Kansas and looked very pedestrian. But Kansas made them look the most pedestrian. So to me, it's the BYU defense that's going to need to do what they've done much of the season, create some takeaways, give BYU's offense an opportunity to cash in on those turnovers.
Like this?
BYU's offense has been so opportunistic. Even against Utah, they won the turnover margin by two.
It was actually three on the fumble on the last kickoff.
That's right. By three,
I
if you count that one.
Monday.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
BYU gave it away once on a fourth down attempt at midfield, which isn't a turnover, but feels like it. But still, yeah. BYU clearly won the turnover battle and scored 6 points off the first two turnovers, which Did you think that was monumental?
Didn't feel like it was a lot, but that equaled the amount that Utah had given up all year.
So to me, formula is the same. Defense, do enough to create opportunities for the offense to cash in. I'm leaning defense here. Yeah. How is Jay Hill going to scheme against Jalen Daniels, who looks healthy? He looks like the guy that we thought he would be all of last year and this year.
Yes.
But he has been turnover prone in the clutch moments. He has not been good. He's been the anti-Jack Retzloff in clutch moments.
Let me give you some of his numbers. I tweeted this out on, I think, Monday. First five games for Jalen Daniels. 161 passing, 7 touchdowns, 8 picks, 1-4 record. Last four, 252 pass, 12 touchdowns total, 1 INT, 2-2. When he takes care of the ball, Kansas has a chance.
Not a shocker.
A few numbers here. Kansas, fourth in third down conversions. They get to third and short. They convert a lot because they have a great run game and a quarterback who can make a play. Top 25 in fewest penalties like BYU. Number 4 in red zone offense. When they get in the red zone, they score. Top 10 in sacks and TFLs allowed. They protect Daniels. He can scramble. He can move. The BYU defense has to get in the backfield, has to do what they did in the second half, which, by the way, we come to find out the other night that Brandon Rose of Utah tore his Liz Frank, the same injury that Taysom Hill had against Nebraska in 2015.
Both played on
in the second quarter and played through it. If I'm Isaac Wilson, I'm in the portal immediately. You didn't throw me in after he tore his Liz Frank? What? That's a story for another day. Kansas is a threat. Kansas looks bad on paper. They are not. There's some good stuff on paper, but they are a good team, man. Can BYU get a big enough lead in the fourth to make them throw the ball, and then that defense picks off a couple passes and shuts the door?
They average over 400 yards of total offense.
Yeah. Will it go down to the wire like SMU, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Utah, where BYU is incredibly 4-0? We welcome back Jeff Grimes as the OC. We welcome back A.J. Stewart, who's an offensive analyst, former running backs coach. Devin Neal's a stud. Those trio of Grimm, Skinner, and Arnold, very good receivers.
Their skill players are awesome.
It's an interesting
game. Across
the board. I don't want this to be a shootout, but BYU's offense can certainly hang in that space. Can the defense show up and give BYU the win in this thing? Obviously, special teams could play a big role. Can you replicate the other Sunflower State team performance, Kansas State?
Yes.
That was the game of the year for BYU, a 29-point win where everything went right, late second, early third quarter. Well, let's watch that middle eight, right? But this is a very intriguing game tomorrow night. It's going to be cold.
Yes.
Shouldn't be wet, but it should be very cold tomorrow.
Can you make Kansas uncomfortable late at night, cold at elevation, and get them to make a few mistakes that you cash in on?
Avenge 92 Aloha Bowl. Avenge last year's Big 12 opener. You're only a 2.5-point favorite. There's your motivation points.
BYU has plenty of motivation.
you're going
Are you
for
kidding
10-0,
me?
Big
Just read
game,
the stat that we opened up our trending topic with.
Yeah.
This is historic. It's never been this way. And hopefully Kalani delivers the same message. What was that again? What was that message from Kalani to his team?
They don't know! They don't know! About to find out!
Hey, hopefully they're not too mad about men's hoops from last year either, you know? Because that was awesome. Who would have thought we would go in there and win in basketball, but not football?
Amazing. Okay, let's keep this thing rolling. It's a huge weekend again.
Oh,
every
man.
Weekend is huge because BYU is undefeated and number 6 in the college football playoff.
Pretty fun.
We are watching college football all day long.
Everything.
That's the beauty of playing a late game.
Yes.
You just watch everything unfold.
Until
and then
there's a men's basketball game in the afternoon, but yeah.
True, but that's the beauty
we
of media
like
as well.
Too.
You can stream, you can keep track of the scores while you watch college basketball, right? Okay, we've discussed the matchup, but let's talk about the other teams involved here that BYU fans should pay attention to. We call it the Rootables. CBS Sports posted this graphic that states BYU, how about this, can clinch a spot in the Big 12 championship game with a win, of course, and some help on Saturday. So, how do the Cougars get helped? Well, it says you beat Kansas, but then losses by Arizona State, Iowa State, and West Virginia. So that trio of losses, along with the win, puts BYU in Dallas already, which obviously leads us into these early games, and we'll tell you who to root for.
Those four bouncing around like that, not likely, but that's exciting. Okay, game number one, Arizona State at number 16, Kansas State. Who are you rooting for? Not who you think it will win. We'll get to that later.
I do not want Arizona State to roll into a home game against BYU riding this incredible wave of momentum, having beaten Kansas State. I want Kansas State to reset where Arizona State is, humble them a little bit, make them think a little bit and have to limp back into Phoenix so that they're now questioning some things. If Arizona State beats Kansas State, that makes me even more worried about BYU having to go to Tempe in 8 days.
Be thou humble. Arizona State has avoided the top six teams in the Big 12. That's why they have such a good record. So we'll see what happens. K-State to keep that win looking good for BYU.
I know some BYU
like
fans
the two
are like,
ranked wins, right?
We want Arizona State to be ranked so BYU can get respect.
No, but then they'll be unranked if BYU wins. So it doesn't matter.
Number
get respect, just win. No, just be undefeated.
Number 17, Colorado hosting Utah. We talked about this briefly yesterday.
Jeremy, I would like Colorado to lose.
You rooting for? Okay, you're rooting for Colorado to lose.
That's how I phrase it specifically. I don't root for that other team.
You're rooting for Colorado to lose. I'm guessing because you'd like BYU to have a little more wiggle room to guarantee the spot in Dallas.
I can see the argument for Colorado winning because then you have a compelling Colorado, and should BYU win that, it's like, oh, what, or should BYU lose a close game? Oh, well, Colorado's on fire right now, and they've got star power. BYU should definitely be in. They only have one loss to that team.
We'll see if the committee actually follows through with when they say, well, we're not going to significantly penalize a team for losing in their conference championship game in their college football playoff setting. We'll see.
Yeah,
we will see about that.
Okay, Baylor at West Virginia.
This one, it's not super significant. At least it doesn't feel that way until you look at what we just pointed out from CBS Sports. West Virginia needs to lose for BYU to be in position to clinch a spot in the title game.
And that's so, this week. If BYU wins the next two, they're in.
Go Baylor?
Period.
Go Baylor on the road in Morgantown.
Yeah, knock West Virginia out of the two-loss team group so that should BYU stumble, there's not another team in a tiebreaker scenario there.
Cincinnati at Iowa State. This is another one of those three games that BYU needs to have happen their way.
Get Iowa State out of the way as well. Get a third loss in league, and Cincinnati already has three.
Go Bearcats. Bearcats a big underdog, double-digit underdog, by the way.
Yep. Okay. Number 7, Tennessee at number 12, Georgia.
This one's loaded.
Yeah.
This is a loaded matchup because Tennessee is right behind BYU in the rankings, so there is part of the fan base that may be thinking, well, let's get Tennessee as far away from BYU as possible because BYU leaped them last week. We don't want them to leap us with the win over Georgia.
If Tennessee beats Georgia, I think they will leap
BYU. They
would.
They should. They should.
And if Georgia wins, they're still in the hunt to stay in the playoff, but they're not a big threat to BYU because they have two losses already.
Right.
If there's a two-game gap, BYU should be fine. That's assuming BYU continues to win out.
I am in favor of Tennessee winning this game because I would like to see Georgia have three losses
and be out,
and they're probably out at that point.
I want Tennessee. I want Georgia
because
I want Tennessee to just even more space. No reason for Tennessee to leapfrog BYU. I want BYU as high as possible.
Okay. Yeah. That keeps Georgia in, obviously.
Yeah, but they're not a threat to BYU.
Isn't every team in the top 12 in some way a threat to BYU?
I can see the argument for both, though. Like, because one-loss BYU team is going to – is it two-loss Georgia or is it not, right, in the end? There could be that conversation.
It's just fun to see more parity in the SEC. So, Tennessee
still
wins.
Four teams.
Great. Yeah. I can't wait to watch it unfold. Then number 13, Boise State at San Jose State. Boise, a big favorite here. Why are you bringing up Boise State? Because, Jerem, I want Boise State to win this game so that they stay and get into the top 12. If they're in the top 12, that group of five team is just there, right? Whereas if they're like 15 or 16, now they're taking an automatic spot and bumping the number 12 team out.
Now if BYU loses and they go to number 12 after the Big 12 title
Boise
game,
State's
they
out
be
of that.
Out.
Exactly.
Yeah, one loss BYU should be ranked higher than Boise State anyway. One loss Boise State.
Go Boise State.
Yep.
Go Boise State. Those are your weekend rootables.
Saturday, loaded. We got men's basketball in the afternoon. And then at night, join us at 8 Eastern for BYSN Game Day on BYU TV, Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio. Kansas at BYU, 10:15 Eastern on ESPN BYU Radio. And, of course, the postgame on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, let's continue our preview of tomorrow night's showdown with Kansas and BYU and do so with former NFL and BYU quarterback John Beck. This is BYU Sports Nation.
You asked me before the season if I would think this team would be 9-0. I would have laughed in your face, to be completely honest.
12, go do your thing. We believe in you, man. You got to play every play for what it is. So we embrace the odds being against us and being stacked against us.
They have far exceeded my expectations.
Welcome back to Studio B. We are live on a Friday. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is 3D QB trainer, one of our favorites, former BYU and NFL quarterback. We call him the QB Whisperer. He is John Beck, back on BYUSN. John, how's your Friday going?
It's going good, man. It's funny to hear Dennis in those quotes right there, and then I'm up next, and then both he and I got a high school football game tonight together.
Let's go. What's the matchup tonight?
San Clemente Tritons versus the Newberry Park Panthers in the second round of CIF playoffs. It's big time tonight.
That is big time. Newberry Park was Dennis's rival at Moore Park when he played, so that's a fun little connection.
Wow, good history.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. There we go. My boy Dennis, of course. Hey, BYU wins at Utah finally for the first time since 06. What was it like to watch that and take that in and kind of, I think some demons were exercised there.
Yeah, for sure. It was really cool. You know, I really enjoyed getting to know the guys on the team, seeing them play. You know, Jake's story is an awesome story. And just to see him, you know, make that drive at the end of the game, help put the team in position to knock down a field goal. I love seeing the kicker just ice it in his veins, knock that thing through. Such a crazy shift of momentum to, like, literally all the people I was watching the game with, Cameron Jensen being one of them, the general was with me. We are like, oh, man, I can't believe that ended. Oh, wait, there's new life. We have a chance still. And then to see the Cougars take advantage of that, it was just awesome.
John, how would you explain to somebody that hasn't watched BYU and is questioning the Cougars as an undefeated 9-0 team and number six in the college football playoff poll that legitimizes them? What would you say to the doubter of BYU that has allowed them to get to this point of the season?
Yeah, I would probably say look at all three phases of their game. Look at what the defense has done against, you can say, SMU, a top 13 team, I believe. They're sitting, is it 14 or something like that? They're sitting at right now. Our defense has been stellar throughout the year. You look at what they did against Kansas State, a team that's been able to run the football really well, put up points all year long. Look what BYU did against them in creating turnovers. Like, I can go on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, and you can sit there and look at certain opponents and say, here's what BYU did. And I know that some people may say, well, that Utah game shouldn't have been close, or why did they only score 3 points until, you know, 4 minutes left to go in the first half against Kansas State? That's any football team. You can dive into any team and say, well, why does this not look what maybe it should, or why not that? At the end of the day, all three phases have helped this team to the record that they are right now. This is not a team that is hanging on just the offense or just the defense. This is a team that is playing all-round football when it matters. And, you know, the sign of a really good team is, okay, maybe a quarter or two don't go well. Can you find a way to win it when the game is on the line? And this team has constantly showed up when the game is on the line to find a way to win.
It's been awesome. On the other side, Kansas has not 0-5 in one-score games, yet they took it to Iowa State last week. How are you feeling about this matchup with a 3-6 Kansas team that looks like an actual threat?
Yeah, you know, I remember Kansas last year. They were a good football team. BYU lost to them in a tough game. You knew going into the season they were ranked pretty high in the Big 12 standings for a reason. Run game, quarterback's ability to be a dual threat player. People viewed them as a much better team is how it's playing out. And I watched a little bit of that game last week against Iowa State, and I know that Iowa State was down some players. I know that they had to play some young guys in certain positions, but you watched the way that Kansas played that game. They did not play it like a team that's only won a few games or that's just trying to kind of salvage a season. Like, they played it like a team of probably what was expected at the beginning of the year. So I think this is going to be a tough one for BYU. I think that if Kansas State shows up and plays the way they did last week, and maybe with some of that energy that they or momentum that they probably have, I do believe it's another dogfight for BYU. And again, it's going to be another opportunity for them to show up in a big game and prove to all those people the type of football team this is.
John Beck is with us on BYU Sports Nation. The Cougars getting set to take on a Kansas offense that's averaging 421 yards of total offense per game. And incredibly, they're 3-6, John. So, considering that and what Kansas did last week and the emotional high that BYU is coming off of having survived at Rice-Eccles, if you're in coach mode with the Cougars, how do you help this team reset mentally for Kansas a week after that wild win against Utah?
I think the basic understanding that every game you play, you have to expect every team's best. And I know that that's like coach talk, right? All coaches say that. You're going to get this team's best. The reality is everybody in the country knows about BYU right now. Kansas put together a really good win against a team that was at the top of the leaderboard in the Big 12. And so their coaching staff is probably preaching to them confidence, probably preaching to them you can have an opportunity to make a statement win against a nationally ranked team again. Like, it's preaching the opportunity to that team, and BYU on our side has to preach one game at a time. I think that, you know, my only concern would be with everything that happened post-Utah game, all of the lingering thoughts about the holding penalty, the lingering comments, the lingering interviews. Like, I hope that as a team, BYU's been able to just draw another line in the sand and just say all of that is in the past. It doesn't even matter anymore. 9-0 doesn't even matter anymore. We need to view ourselves as 0-0, like as this is a one-game season right now, because this Kansas team is going to try to do the same thing they did last week. Like, I think the confidence that we have and the confidence that they have makes this matchup just something where nothing can be overlooked at all. And I would hope that the football team recognizes that as well. Like, this is not a lame Kansas team that somehow put something together in one game. This is a very capable Kansas team. And so the team has to be ready for that.
Yeah, the Fighting Nate Mickles of Kansas is what we call them. No, he's running for the Cougs. But employed by Kansas, we get it, Nate. We would have had him on the show this week, but he's in Europe having fun in London. So all good. Okay, Jalen Daniels can run the rock. He is a dual threat, truly. BYU's had trouble against running quarterbacks. Where would that conversation start, in your opinion, for BYU to slow down a good runner?
Something that I like about BYU's offense is actually going to help them prepare for this Kansas offense. You know, sometimes you have similarities of your offense and the teams you're facing. And so you've played against that in the spring. You've played against that in fall camp. You know, the way that BYU utilizes Jake, the way that Jake is utilizing zone read game, the way that he's utilizing QB counter game, the way that he also takes off and scrambles, like having to practice against that when you're playing against yourself in those periods is going to help this team prepare for what Kansas brings. Now, look, I think when I watch him, he's a good thrower and he makes plays at times. But everything starts, I believe, in their offense with the run game and how he's utilizing the run game. It's going to be very similar to what SMU was trying to do with their young quarterback. The difference is this is a much more experienced quarterback than when BYU played SMU the beginning of the season. That was that young kid's first game. This guy's been around the block. He's been on the field. And I think, like, they're probably feeling like this is who we've expected to be all season. You know, I think if BYU can keep his passing numbers, you know, where he's only completing close to 50%, and then they can do a good job of stopping the run game, make Kansas have to win the game through the air, I think that's where it gives BYU the advantage defensively.
John, let's stay with the quarterback theme and talk about BYU signal caller, Jake Retzlaff. You talked about all of the national attention he's been getting, and rightfully so. He's played really well. You have worked with him in an individual capacity. So given your backdrop, where have you seen Jake Retzlaff take the most significant step forward as a quarterback on the field?
I like his decision-making. He's done a much better job this year in some of his decisions. You know, the thing also, this kind of goes in with the offensive line. I'm going to tie in some of the growth I've seen in Jake and probably the confidence that he's been able to have in the guys in front of him. There's been some really good protection. And I know that last week there was a lot of batted balls, and that was something that I think Utah probably went into the game saying, let's try to focus on this. If we can't get to him like we want, let's try to bat some balls down. And so you may see some teams try to do that as well. But Jake, to me, has seemed more poised. He seemed like less rushed in the pocket, less hurried. You know, at times last season, some of the inaccuracies were because of mechanically what he was doing as he was trying to hurry. When I look at him, the decision-making and the poise this year stands out as two areas of growth that I think have really helped him up to this point.
Is some of that arm angle and arm slot as well when the ball is batted or no?
You know what? Here's the tough part about it. Like, a coach may be like, hey, get the ball up. When somebody 6'4", 6'5", jumps up in the air, you from your throwing platform are not going to be able to get a ball over that guy. There are times that, you know, your offensive lineman is engaged with a defensive person and you need to get your arm up to get over your offensive player. Or maybe that defensive player engaged just tries to get a little hand up. Yes, I do believe in those circumstances. Arm slot, feeling like the ball needs to get up can help. But when you have somebody that starts to engage, realizes he's not going to get to the quarterback, takes a step back and jumps up in the air, I think usually throwing around and changing your arm angle gives you the opportunity, not over the top. So Jake uniquely has an arm slot that is just naturally a little bit lower, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you've seen in the NFL, a lot of people now praise quarterbacks' ability to change arm angles. the old, oh, it has to be from this slot. That's a thing of the past. And I'm grateful for that. Like, you should be able to change arm angles. You need to be able to change arm angles. And I will, like, what I think Jake has done, and this is kind of going back to your previous question, like, I think he's been more consistent also with his ability to change arm angles and throw a more consistent, accurate ball. Like, he's always had that playmaker ability, but at times a few throws would get away from him. I think that as he's worked really hard on some things in the offseason, he's improved a bit in that area. Still room for improvement, and he's going to keep working on that, but I have seen growth there.
John, just a couple of quick things as we wrap up. One, down with Newberry Park. Let's go Tritons of San Clemente.
Let's go Tritons.
Two, bring the cold weather gear, man. I know you and your sons are going to be at the game. Bring a lot of layers, and we'll see you in Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Thanks, man. I'm really excited for it. It is going to be a cold one, and I wonder what effect that has on the game. These two teams that are built similarly in the run game, what effect that has in play calling and, you know, just how that can impact the game. It's going to be interesting to see, but a lot of fun to watch. I'm really excited to get up to Lavelle Edwards Stadium with my sons.
Great stuff. Thanks for the time, John. Always good to talk to you.
See you guys.
John Beck on BYU Sports Nation.
I showed my 6-year-old son Tate Beck Tarlene for the first time this morning. Pretty fun. He's getting into it. It's pretty awesome.
He's understanding the magic.
Yes, he is. Men's basketball takes on Idaho tomorrow. We got BYU Send Countdown on BYU TV at 2 Eastern. Pregame on BYU Radio at the same time as well as BYU takes on the Vandals of Idaho.
After this, I go one-on-one with BYU wide receiver Chase Roberts to preview the matchup with Kansas, how the Cougars are getting ready for that defense, and a very busy weekend we preview in headlines. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headline.
Number 6, BYU football hosts Kansas tomorrow night, hoping their dust in the wind as the Cougars look to improve to 10-0 for the fourth time in program history. Kansas beat BYU last year in BYU's first ever Big 12 conference game. Pregame begins at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Let's get to our Cougars in the NFL, beginning with Fred Warner and the 49ers hosting Jerem Jordan's Seattle Seahawks. Puka Nacua and the LA Rams. Long road trip in New England, taking on Sione Takitaki and the Patriots. Tyler Allgeier and Atlanta travel to Denver to take on Zach Wilson and the Broncos. Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens also on the road against the Steelers.
Huge game.
Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and the Saints host the Cleveland Browns.
Men's basketball seeks a 4-0 start against Idaho tomorrow. Pre-game on BYU TV, BYU Radio, 2 Eastern time. And BYU signee Xavion Staten, one of 50 high school players named to the Naismith Trophy Boys High School Basketball Player of the Year watch list.
BYU women's basketball with their first road test of the season at Idaho State tomorrow. You can listen to the game live with Jason Shepard on the call on BYU Radio or watch on ESPN Plus beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern.
7-seed women's soccer host Santa Clara tonight in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Big game, 8 Eastern, ESPN Plus. Defenders Avery Frischneck and Presley Freeman preview the matchup in studio next segment.
Number 1 BYU men and number 1 BYU women. The cross-country teams both competing this afternoon at the NCAA Regionals in Reno, Nevada. The women's race starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. The men's race gets underway at 3 Eastern. It's good to be number 1.
Yes, it is. Number 24 women's volleyball beat UCF in 4 sets last night in Orlando thanks to Claire Little and Ellie Mortensen's 25 kills combined. BYU back on the road tomorrow at Houston, 3 Eastern on ESPN+. And the Cougars announced the 2025 signing class. Big signees, Suli Davis, outside hitter from Euless, Texas, U19 national teamer, Anna Blamirez, opposite from Colorado Springs, Colorado, Grace Frederick, a setter from Salt Lake, and Kaylee Tingey, a libero from Overland Park, Kansas.
And the BYU men's volleyball team also announces their 2025 signing class. Let's begin with Leighton Bluth, a libero from Gilbert, Arizona, Tyler Johnson, a setter from Weston, Florida, Trey Thornton, outside slash opposite hitter from Spanish Fork, Utah.
Maple Mountain represent.
And how about Evan Olmstead?
Yep.
Ah, yes, another Olmstead. Libero from Highland, Utah. And I know you're going to ask it. Yes, he is the son of head coach Sean Olmstead. Let's go. I recently spoke, as we get back to BYU football, with the Cougars wide receiver and one of the heroes of the final drive in the win against Utah, Chase Roberts, to preview tomorrow night's game against Kansas. We discuss what he expects to see specifically from the Jayhawks defense, how you prepare to play in the cold weather. So here is a portion of that conversation.
Chase, I don't often put on a suit for an interview, but when you make that catch at the 50-yard line, I thought maybe I should show up and look a little professional. How has the process of evaluating the game against Utah, digesting it, and then trying to move on from it been for you this week?
Yeah, I mean, it was such a fun game, such a historic game, really. And the way that it happened, I mean, it was just super fun. And we enjoyed it. We watched it Monday and were able to dissect it and get better and learn from our mistakes. But also look at the fun stuff and the catches we made and the game-winning field goal, and we cheered, and it was awesome. But come Tuesday, we were locked in on Kansas, and today's been a Wednesday practice, so it was awesome, and it was exciting to just to get focused on Kansas and sure. get going. So
clearly the page has been turned to preparation for the Jayhawks, and they're coming off their best game and performance of the season. So from what you have seen from Kansas, what stands out specifically from their defense?
Yeah, they're just tough, physical. I remember last year we had a tough time just running routes and getting off the corners, and they're just good players. So we need to be sound, do our job, do what we've been doing, making big plays, making explosive plays, and getting the run game going. So as we do what we've been doing, we'll score points and we'll be okay. But they are a great team, so we gotta execute.
What's the key to play, the key to preparing to play in what's going to be the coldest game of the season to date?
Yeah, I think we have the advantage on that. They're coming probably from 65, 70 degree weather, so we're used to it. We know what we need to do, and we need to stay warm on the sideline, get next to those warm benches, and just keep making plays, get that momentum going, get the crowd fired up, and as long as we have that going for us, we'll stay warm, and we'll keep our adrenaline there, you know. So we're excited, and rain or snow, whatever, you know our fight song, we just fight and we win. So
what's your message to all of Cougar Nation, especially those that may be a little hesitant to show up because it's going to be cold on Saturday night?
I don't think they're going to have a problem. I think they're going to be there. So, and you better not prove me wrong. So that's, they'll be there. We're excited, and it's going to be loud and rocking. So I'm excited.
Chase, we appreciate the time. All of the BYU Sports Nation karma we can muster up to you and the Cougars as you seek to get win number 10 in Super Bowl number 10.
That's right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You can find the full conversation that I had with Chase Roberts, and it's good. He discusses that big catch against Utah as well on YouTube.
You looked good, too. You're getting ready for men's basketball Wednesday. That's
it,
when that
it was
happened.
A sprint from there.
Yes, it was.
To go do an interview with Chris Burgess.
Yes, it was.
Literally a run.
Yeah, nice.
After the break, hey, BYU football isn't the only BYU team with a huge home game this weekend. It's playoff time. Avery Frischdeck and Presley Freeman of BYU Women's Soccer join us next to preview their rivalry showdown with Santa Clara. This is BYU.
Defense.
They've been really resilient, adaptable. They've been learning as they go, and they've really come together.
A bottle to net, and a lead for BYU. It's Frischdeck.
Avery Frischdeck, who's really been a leader.
They took it on the chin a little bit early, and like you said, they bounced back.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B on a very busy Friday.
Game day
Friday.
In the NCAA tournament. Come
yes,
on.
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's not just any Friday. It is a playoff Friday for BYU Women's Soccer. And joining us now, a couple of the standout defenders for BYU Women's Soccer, Avery Frischdeck and Presley Freeman. Welcome to BYU
What's
Sports
up? How are you
Nation.
Doing?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I think we're doing great. We're getting excited for the game tonight.
Heck
so
yeah.
So excited.
First time on the show, too, which is exciting. We want to give you all the karma we can give you. There's
start
good
it
luck
there.
That happens.
Just start it there.
All the good luck for tonight.
Okay. We appreciate it.
We do this because when players come on the show and you get the karma, then you play amazing.
Yeah, so, I love it. I appreciate
like,
it.
We might have another timely goal from you, maybe, right? Who knows? Maybe Presley.
I would love that.
There's a long history of this with BYU women's soccer specifically.
Yes, there is. We've had some weird, awesome moments, man. It's been great.
All right. Okay, so let's start with the emotions of tonight's game. This is an old West Coast Conference foe for BYU. So, Jen, I mean, she knows Santa Clara so well. So what has preparation been like with your head coach as you've prepared for a team that she knows so well? Question for both of you. We'll start with you, Avery.
Honestly, I mean, she does know a lot about Santa Clara, but we're just sticking to our process, doing what we know how to do. And they're a really good possession team, so our press is going to come in clutch tonight. So we're super excited for that. And we're just excited, and we're just sticking to what we know and what works for us.
Has Jen talked about the history with Santa Clara?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I haven't been here longer than, a couple months. But,
like, you're a freshman.
You don't know everything?
I'm aware of, like, the little, like, head-to-head thing that's going on here tonight, so.
There was NCAA tournament history in the 90s.
Yeah.
There was West Coast Conference competition. And then there was the 21 College Cup semifinals,
yeah.
Right, which was a great win for BYU. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Crisp conditions. Do you guys go sleeves? Do you go Vaseline? There's like a method to the madness, is there not?
There is. I just, whatever, honestly. If it's cold enough, then I'll wear sleeves. But I usually like not wearing sleeves.
Okay, rocking a headband, either of you?
I might. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. Because if I do my hair a certain way every single game. I'm like, if I mess up my hair, I don't know.
Is this a superstition?
A little bit. Like, if it's not, like, at the perfect angle, I'm like, I redo it, like, 100 times. So.
Hey, as two people that care about how their hair looks, we understand.
Something about being on TV. Yeah. Sometimes I wish we could just wear hats, right?
They're on TV longer.
We should just wear headbands.
They're on TV longer than we are. 2 straight hours. An hour and a half. Let's go.
How would you sum up this season as a whole? Because it obviously had some really rough points and understandable learning experiences and so many injuries and frustrations. But here you are hosting a game when that was not on the radar about 6 weeks ago. So how'd you sum it up, Avery?
This year has been a year of progress and building. Losing so many seniors last year was really hard, but I feel like we have grown so much as a team and as individuals. And I think going through all those hard setbacks and everything that we've gone through this season has made us closer as a team. And I think that's why we've been playing so well, is because we are a team and we're playing together. And I don't know, what would you say, Press?
I honestly, like, obviously it's a year of, like, rebuilding and regrowth, but, like, from what we started with and what we are now, I think it's just, like, crazy to see, like, how much we've grown together and, like, how we play now compared to the beginning of the season. Like, teams we've played and, like, I don't know, I just think it's crazy to see how much we've grown and I don't know.
It was a very tough schedule and you guys had injuries and you were figuring things out. And there came a point where you were able to, and maybe tell me if I'm wrong, you were able to be like, we are not last year's team, we are our team this year. When did you sort of embrace that identity?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say probably at the start of the Big 12 conference. I think we went through a really hard preseason schedule, and I think as soon as the Big 12 conference started, we were like, hey, this is our team. We're going to go out and set out for what we want to do, and we're going to go make a name for ourselves. And I think that in the past couple of weeks, we've been able to do that, and we're going to continue to do so too.
I know you're looking forward to tonight's game and making more incredible memories, but given the nature of the season and how dramatic some things have been, what's been your favorite moment?
Besides Avery's goal that we just showed right there.
Okay. What's been your favorite moment, Presley, of the 2024 season?
I think honestly just like traveling the country with all of these girls that I've grown to like be so close with, because we just spend like every second together. I think that's awesome. But like a specific moment, I think, is probably like the Utah game. And like getting that second goal to like go ahead, and it's just like all the fans were there, and it was just so cool, like playing on South, like in that environment, it's just so cool.
Another kick to beat Utah.
Yes,
yeah,
I love
another kick to beat Utah.
Was that goal your favorite moment?
Yeah, I would say that was probably my favorite moment. It was so fun. I just awesome.
I'll tell you mine. Winning at Texas Tech in the last minute.
100%.
That was unbelievable. That win not only helped your resume, but it was just good to win on the road against those guys, right?
Yeah, Texas Tech was a great team.
They're so very good.
That win was awesome.
Good to score 2 goals against a team that had given up 2 total goals on their home field all season.
And then Oklahoma State, 4 in
that
first
crazy.
Half.
Amazing.
That was awesome.
Amazing.
All right. Again, we've given you the karma. What do you expect Southfield to be like tonight?
It's going to be electric.
Yeah,
there's going to be so many people there. I think it's a sold-out crowd, and we're going to go out there and play our game and give them a good show.
We're hoping that there's not only a win, but certain pieces fall to potentially host. But as a 7 seed, the likelihood is that you're on the road. So enjoy tonight in perhaps the final home game of the season. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you both.
Luck against Santa Clara.
Let's go.
Yeah, can't wait. Watch it tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN+. First round of the NCAA tournament. It's a rivalry that goes back a long ways. BYU and Santa Clara tonight in the NCAA tournament.
After the break, it's that time. Big 12 pick 'em. And I can't wait for our guest picker to make his show debut. It's a young, but not Steve. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Caption the clip from last week's The Cut. What do Kansas fans not know, but they're about to find out at BYU Some. Answers on X. The Vampire Cougs are angry about last year. Indeed. It's a vengeance
yes,
game.
Yes, they are.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. You want to take it, Jerem?
At @N_Crowley19 on X. That Dallin Hall isn't the only BYU athlete who has the clutch gene. I would add against Kansas. Very nice.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Big weekend in Provo tonight. Women's soccer on ESPN Plus in the NCAA tournament against Santa Clara. Men's basketball against Idaho tomorrow. Number 6 BYU football against Kansas tomorrow night. Can't wait.
Let's go. It's time for our Big 12 Pick'em segment. Let's take a look at how our guest pickers have fared up to this point of the season in this contest. Ashley Hatch still leading the way.
Still got it.
4 out of 5. It's going to be tough to beat. Kenneth Rooks in second place. He knows a thing or two about that, right? Finishing second?
You know. Silver's pretty good in the Olympics.
Silver's amazing
in the Olympics.
Whatever. Jerem's got a 4-game lead on me overall. We've kept track of our scores.
Not done.
3 weeks left. And now we welcome in our special guest picker for this week. It is former BYU quarterback Tom Young.
Tom Young.
Welcome, Tom.
Let's go, Tom.
The better of the Young brothers. That is for sure. You're literally taking a break from work as an a pediatric anesthesiologist, right?
Yes. I work in Mesa at Banner Children's.
Incredible.
Making time for us. We appreciate it.
No, we really do. Okay. So with Tom in the scrubs, let's get to the games. It's pretty simple, Tom. You know the deal. We'll give you a game. You give us a winner. We keep track of your scores and then put you up against the rest of the leaders. So game number one, Houston at Arizona. Arizona's a 1-point favorite. Game tonight, Houston's won 2 straight. Who are you going with, Houston or the team in your current state, Tom?
Yeah, I'm going with the team that we call down south, Arizona.
That team down south.
Wildcats.
Nice. I'm going with Houston.
Yeah.
Yep, Zion Chris has shown they can run with the rock. I'm going with Houston tonight.
All right, I'm going to go with Arizona as well, Tom. I'm going to join you with the Arizona team down south. So let's band together.
All right.
Game number two, Baylor taking on the country roads of West Virginia. Who are you taking in this game, the Mountaineers or the Bears?
I'm going with the home team, West Virginia.
I am as well. I think the Mountaineers are tough to beat there.
I think Baylor's going to find a way on the road. They've had a knack of playing well on the road at points this season, so give me Baylor there.
They'd get bowl eligible with that one.
Game number three, Cincinnati at Iowa State. The Cyclones reeling a little bit, but they are a double-digit home favorite against the Bearcats. Who are you taking here, Tom?
I'm going with the home team again, Iowa State.
I think the Clones are in too much free fall. Cincinnati's got a good team. Iowa State's hopes of keeping a Big 12 title game appearance feel in flux, but give me Iowa State at home.
This is a trifecta. All of us taking Iowa State to bounce back and handle things on their home field against Cincinnati. Okay, game number four. Huge game. Another Arizona team, Tom. This time the Sun Devils at number 16, Kansas State, in the Little Apple of Manhattan, Kansas. Who wins the game?
Go Devils, man. We're ready. Kenny Dillingham's got that team ready. And, you know, my old teammate, Jared Levitt, has his son playing, Sam Levitt. BYU ties there. So I'm going with ASU.
Scataboo's back. Keyshawn Elliott's back, linebacker. Give me Arizona State to upset Kansas State as well.
Wow, both of you taking the Sparky. Sun Devils. I think that Kansas State, they're reeling a little bit too. Off of a bye week after a loss against Houston, I think Kansas State plays with an extra chip on the shoulder and they figure it out. Okay, game number five. Utah, they're going back to Isaac Wilson as the starting quarterback, Tom, on the road at number 17, Colorado. Who are you rolling with here in the Battle of the Rockies?
I'm going with the Utes. I mean, the emotional loss last week. They have a great defense. I've got a good friend, Sean Tanavas. His son Kai is one of the main guys down there, and I'm going with the Utes.
Give me Colorado in this one.
I'm taking Colorado as well. Tom, great to talk with you. We're
thanks,
all taking
Tom.
BYU. We appreciate what you do at the hospital and all you do to represent BYU. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Good to have you guys. Thank you.
Great stuff. Our thanks to all of today's guests.
Sorry, Dennis, no time, although good luck in the playoff game.
Yeah, there was time yesterday, just not today.
Yeah.
For Jerem, I am Spencer. Go Cougs! Win the playoff game tonight, soccer!